Hey, before we get started, I just wanted to bring on a couple of special guests real quick. Please welcome my brother Brandon and my sister Courtney.
Happy Father's Day, Dad. I hope the day's been a good one. As you know, Aiden and I are in Kansas City, so sorry we couldn't be there today to help celebrate with you. Dad, you're a great dad, and I hope I'm doing you proud by the way I'm raising my boys. So you've been a great example, and for that I thank you. Happy Father's Day. Love you.
When I think about my dad, John Wilden, I think about strength, physical strength, mental strength, always. As years have gone on, his physical strength has shifted to an emotional strength that presents as positivity. Regardless of the challenges he's been presented with, he has always been kind and positive, and had a good attitude.
Hey, I call you the legend for a reason. Happy Father's Day, Padre. Enjoy the show.
Happy Father's Day, and welcome to the 15 Years Later podcast. As always, I'm Mike Wilden, here with Tim Larson. Tim, how are you doing today?
Not so good, Mike. Not so good. As you recall...
What's going on?
Well, last time we did the podcast, I said that I would acquiesce. I even used a fancy word for this. I said I would acquiesce to a vote for whether or not I should give my cousin Brian $80. And I don't know the totals on this vote. I know that you do, but I saw the poll as it was going, and it didn't look good. So I'm not even nervous. I just want to hear the end result. Do I owe my cousin Brian $80 or do I not owe my cousin Brian $80?
You owe your cousin Brian $80.
Son of a bitch.
Sorry, man.
You know, he did not get wet. You know, he did not submerge.
I did not vote in $80. This because I felt like it wouldn't be fair since I was working the poll.
Yep.
But, what I will say is that two things here. One, you really didn't do much to defend your side. All you said was, oh, his back was dry. How convinced you were that his back was dry. And, proof. You know, Brian gave his whole perspective of what happened, and you just said, no, it wasn't.
Okay, I don't need the lecture. I'll give him the $80.
I'm on you about your strategy right now because you got 28% of the vote.
You know,
that was two write-ins.
Honestly, I asked my wife three times, did you vote on this thing? She's like, oh no, I keep forgetting. I'm like, it's $80. I need a vote. So I had to nag my wife to vote. And for crying out loud.
Yeah. I mean, most of the people
voted for
that
Brian,
voted
and that has
for...
nothing to. It has nothing to do with Brian or me or the beach. That just had to do with busting my balls. Hilty, I see you. I see you. He's not telling me who voted what, but I see you already, Hilty.
Most of the people that voted for Brian, I don't think actually know Brian. They just heard the story and were like, you know what?
Yeah.
I think I know.
If they knew Brian, that vote would have gone differently. I'll tell you this. Well, anyway, let's move on. This podcast isn't about that. I'm $80 out and, the hell with them. Actually, I'm doing pretty good today. I'm just going to put that right behind me. I am. We're playing a show.
Good.
I thought we moved on. I was pretty sure we moved on.
I'm now sorry.
Bring it up.
Right,
old
go
shit.
Go ahead. I won't do it again.
The band is playing this weekend. We're playing Saturday, and that's right around the corner from where your apartment is.
Yeah.
And then Sunday morning, I get on a plane and I'm going to Arizona. I'm meeting some friends and I'm going to spend a week in Sedona and we're going to have a great time.
Yeah. In fact, when this podcast actually comes out, you will have already played the show and you will currently be in the Wednesday this comes out or Thursday for the Apple Podcast folks.
That's a good point.
Tim, at this very moment, if you're listening to it right as it came out, is currently in Arizona.
Yeah, so I'd like to take this opportunity to apologize for all the drunken swearing at the end of that set. I didn't really mean it.
Just getting prepared just in case.
Well, yeah, odds aren't good that it'll, yeah, that's probably what's going to happen. But also today I did book a condo. My wife and I have been talking about this forever. Just about a year from right now, she and I will be on a plane going to South America. We're going to spend 2 weeks in Argentina. And so I'm looking
It's
forward to that a lot.
awesome.
Yeah, I'm looking forward to that a lot. The one thing I don't know if I can pull off though is that I really want to do is at the very southern tip of South America. And I think that Chile actually owns the southern part. Like it kind of wraps around underneath the bottom tip of Argentina. There's a lighthouse.
Leaves? I don't remember. Okay, go
Yeah,
ahead.
there's a lighthouse at the end of the continent. And it is, unless you're in Antarctica, it is the southernmost tip of any country in the world, really. And so that's as close as Antarctica as you can get and be on land, basically. And I kind of want to go to that lighthouse. But I mean, it's Argentina is a giant country and it's like hours worth of plane rides to get to places. And so I don't think I'm going to pull that one off, but I am
A
going to
couple
eat
of those.
some.
Chile and Argentina are very long countries. They're very
Yes.
California-esque countries. Like
Yes.
you don't realize it, but top to bottom can take a long time to get through.
Right. Like
So
we have talked about flying into one airport and then it would be a 14-hour drive to get to
yeah.
our condo. And so we kind of talked about maybe staying a couple of nights at that airport and then just finding Airbnbs along the way and driving 4 or 5 hours a day and then spending a day or two and then just kind of traveling that part of the country. It's wine country, which is something that we both really enjoy. So
Course.
let the planning begin. We booked the condo. So exciting stuff coming up.
It's fantastic.
How are you?
Since you mentioned it, I've been
Yep.
planning a trip to Europe.
Oh, that's true.
Yeah, so September, I'm gonna fly into London, and I won't go through all the specifics of it, but the plan right now is to visit 8 countries in 36 days.
That's awesome. That is really awesome.
Yeah, a lot of it's going to be train. One flight from somewhere kind of in the northern part of Europe down to Rome, and then I'll kind of take the train from the rest of the way there.
Yeah.
Plan is to finish in Berlin, and then fly home from there.
That's cool. That's
Still
really,
have a
really
lot
cool.
of
So we've
work to
talked about
do
this
on it,
before.
but like,
You haven't spent a lot of time in Europe, is that correct?
I spent probably 10 days over there in just in England
Yes.
for spring break, my last year of echo school.
Yes, this was a friend that you met on one of your trips.
Yeah.
So this is interesting. The one that I'm planning on taking, being that that's a year from now, we will be done with this blog and podcast adventure, or at least how
Yes.
we first intended it. But you are going to Europe during the whole thing, so you're going to be gone for a month, and
Yeah.
we got to figure some shit out. So it'll
Ooh,
just
yeah.
put everybody on notice. We will be navigating some travel issues while still continuing to put this story out there.
Things might get weird. Things might get a little weird.
Yeah. You could join a cult
Sorry.
and you'll never be back.
That isn't that appealing to me, but yeah, I guess you never know.
You going to Amsterdam?
Oh yeah.
Well,
Yeah, I'm
my point.
right now the plan is 8 countries in a little over a month, and I'm pretty excited about it.
That's great. That is great. All right. So let's go back to 15 years later. I just did want to point out to everybody once again that we have made a little bit of a turn. And if you guys read this blog, episode number 12, titled Winds of the Father, written by you, you can tell that there's a little more heart going on here. The first act really was very informational and in giving you the theme. But there's going to be a little more reflecting going on here and a little more emotion in the second act.
I just want to point out too, because this comes out just a little after Father's Day. When we're recording this is actually when we release the blog, which is the Wednesday before Father's Day. So we've
That
got
is,
the
we
little
just
Father's Day
released it today.
sandwich,
Yes.
which again, we did not plan that on purpose,
Right.
but it worked out beautifully, and I'm so thrilled with the way that timing worked out.
Yeah.
But it's made this Father's Day just a little extra special just for me with my dad this year, just being able to kind of, this is something unique I've been able to kind of give him for Father's Day this
yeah,
year.
Totally agree. It's really good timing. So, having said all that, are you ready to move on to part two?
Yeah, I believe so. Are you?
I'm ready. Let's go. All right, ladies and gentlemen, let's get into talking about this blog. It is episode number 12. It's called Winds of the Father. We literally just posted this a few hours ago, and we've already heard from a couple of people that they really enjoyed it, that they got the emotion out of it. And I just thought I'd ask you right off the bat, what's your reaction to people immediately saying that they really enjoyed it and got some emotion from it?
Yeah, from a writing perspective, it's pretty cool. You know, I mean, it's always nice to hear like that people, you know, like the writing, of course.
Yeah.
I think, especially because this is the first one of the entries that I'm like the most proud of, you know, because we have a few coming up here, and mm-hmm. the ones I'm the most proud of, just writing wise, just, are the next series here in Act Two, and then some of our, yeah. you know, Act Three, if you will. And this is kind of the first one of those. So it's, on one hand, it's really, really cool to hear that people do enjoy it. And, you know, your cousin Brian texted me earlier today out of the blue and said, you know, he said he really liked it. And that was really cool. You know, it's great to hear that kind of thing.
Sure. Yeah.
On the other hand, to be perfectly honest, there's only one person's opinion for this entry specifically that I care about, and that's the legend.
Yeah,
that's my dad.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
I haven't heard from him yet, but I know he'll read it at some point. You know, he's been keeping up with the blog. I asked him this past weekend before I left. I just, without telling him, I just said, you up to date with the blog? And he's like, yep. I'm like, good.
Yeah. Oh,
and
that's
great. He's subscribed to the email list, so I know he's gonna get it. But yeah, it's really, really nice hearing from people that like it just objectively. But I'm most looking forward to hearing what the legend himself has to say.
Mm-hmm.
And I want to hear what my mom has to say too. But like, you know, that's
absolutely
ultimately kind of, you know, this is a special one.
Yeah. You're not lying. We've got some big hitters coming up, and they're all emotional like this. We decided, hey, let's just be honest and put this stuff out there. And
right.
This is a good instance of that kind of thing. Let me ask you this, the dad trip, I'm going to call it the dad trip. You took your dad and you drove him around, having him show you, his old stomping grounds and stuff. Was that your original idea, or had you heard somebody else had done that before? Because I got to tell you, it's fantastic. I mean, you told me this the first day we met, and that's years ago now, but just now that we're getting into it, what a cool idea. And I'm like proud of you for thinking to do this with your dad, weirdly, because I don't know your dad. I just think it's a really cool thing. So was it your idea? Did you get it from somebody? How did the whole thing come together?
So I had some inspiration. I was watching on Netflix, Aziz Ansari has a special called Right Now. And it's a very raw, just, you know, he just, it's just him in the audience kind of just talking. You know, it's less like his older ones where he's jumping all over the place and running and yelling a lot of things. But he just kind of, there are points where he gets quiet and he just talks about some real life stuff. And the line that sticks out the most to me from that entire special is when he's talking about his parents and just how, you know, he's like, how often do you, you know, how much time do you have left with these people? And he's like, say you're doing the math, you see him however many times a year, so you get this many years.
Yeah.
That's, and in his math, he goes like, that's 50 more visits or something like that, or whatever
okay.
it is.
Okay.
And obviously it's different for everybody in every situation, but you know, that makes you think, and that's kind of the whole point of his special anyway.
Yeah.
But the line that he says is like, get to know these people, ask them about their life. That's what he says. It's just that challenge. Ask them about their life, about their lives. And you know, he's got some good jokes that come off of that, but I don't know, that just stuck in my head. And so my idea was to just interview him and ask him about his life.
It's interesting to me that you didn't know a lot of those places. Like, I think for myself, if I wanted to go, you know, like, hey, Dad, where did you grow up? I already know that place, you know, and hey, where did you work when you were 16? I already know that place because they're all within two blocks of each other. So maybe it is kind of a unique thing for you that you could be like, hey, I never learned this part about your life. So let's go learn it. You know, let's go through it together. I think it's kind of beautiful, to be honest with you. I'm not going to write a poem about it or anything, but I think it's kind of a beautiful thing about your relationship with your dad. And it's really cool.
You don't have to write a poem. I already wrote a blog entry about it. It's fine.
thank you. Thank you.
Yeah. No, that was kind of the point, is exactly that. I know my dad really well.
Yeah.
From the point that I've been there, since I've been around, I know him really well, but I don't know a whole bunch about either of my parents really from before I came along. I've heard some stories. I know they've, you know, with their group of friends, they've thrown a few parties in their day that were so epic that they're like generationally epic because I know about it.
Yeah.
But yeah, I don't know. I think I came along at a much different part of my parents' lives than anything that came before me.
Mm-hmm.
I just wanted to show interest and just let them know. Cause that was kind of the whole point was, hey, show interest, ask them about their life. That right. And that means a lot to people when you show interest.
Right.
The driving around, I don't know. I just came up with it. And thank you for telling me it's a good idea, but it's just driving around. And also he told me where to go. So
yeah. Well, that's what's, I mean, one of my favorite things about this, there's a lot to enjoy in this blog entry, but your mother giving away the secret is just adorable. And so I think we can.
To her credit.
You didn't tell her.
To her credit. Yeah, right. Yeah. To her credit, I didn't tell her this is a secret. I didn't tell him I want to surprise him, which was what I meant to say. But I told her every other part of it without saying, oh, this is going to be a surprise.
Yeah.
And
so it was texts. We get through the blog that it was text. You texted your mom and she texted you back and you're like, oh, that was supposed to be a secret. And she's like,
yeah,
oh, well, you didn't tell me that. So here's a whole list from your father about places that he would like you to go. what if you, as best you can, go through your reaction when you read the text and she says, oh yeah, I told him about it and he knows all about it and he's got ideas. Like, were you like a son of a bitch, or was it like, all right, well, that's how we're doing this?
I pretty much that, just the way, well, all right, I guess this is how it's going. Like, I accepted it pretty quickly. There was a brief moment of like, oh, but it's, you know, I think I realized pretty quickly that I still didn't know a ton of places to take him to.
Yeah.
So it might have ended up the way it was anyway if I had like told him, hey, we're gonna go driving around to these places. You know, I didn't really know a ton of places to go. I probably would have ended up asking him, where else can we go? You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
So her way worked out way better anyway. And I kind of knew that. I just couldn't help it. Cause you know, I don't think she intended it, but it really came off very kind of like just a little mockingly. Just like, oh, well, I didn't know it was going to be a surprise. Right. So I told him everything.
Right. She used your own word against you.
Yeah.
As champions do. But as champions do.
Exactly.
That's great. So let's get into this is, I think, my favorite part about this blog, as far as the writing of it, is your use of singular words to describe characteristics of how you feel about your father. And I'm going to give you the list of words right here. Compass, guardian, guide, kindness, role model, legend. It's kind of like you decided to write a word poem to your dad in the middle of this blog entry. And I've told you this before as we were working on this. I just love this writing device that you did. You would end a paragraph with a word, or you would just kind of point this out, like, you know, role model here or guardian there. I don't even know if I have a question for you. I just want to say, nice job picking really complimentary words to describe how you feel about your dad. I think it's great.
Yeah, thank you for the compliment. They're all very true. Wisdom is the other one that I would throw.
Wisdom.
In there.
Yeah, sure.
And I think that's one of the most important ones, mm-hmm. because, you know, the biggest thing, you know, the easiest part to write was the part where, you know, dad's my compass, because he was always the guy that I, you know, if I really just didn't know where to go. So here's a good example, and it doesn't seem like that big of a deal, but my first travel contract up in Green Bay was originally just for 3 months. And, you know, I told myself going into this, I'm not going to just travel once and then settle in a place. I want to travel to a few different places. And,
yeah,
you know,
I remember that.
That's
yes.
The whole point. Right. And they offered me an extension. They really, you know, they kept extending. And I was like, I really like this team. I really like this hospital. I loved everything about it. But it wasn't part of the plan. I was just trying to stick to my guns.
Yeah.
Well, then they offered a little more money.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it was actually kind of a lot more money.
Okay.
And it wasn't just to me, but since I was already there, I kind of got, you know, first dibs on it. And So when I learned that, I was just like, oh, geez, I really don't know what to do. I mean, it's good money. I really do like it here. But like, I have a plan. I was going to stick to my plan here. And I was so adamant about that. And I called two people to talk about that. I called my friend Keenan and I called my dad. First, I called my dad.
Yeah.
And just ran the whole thing by him. And he didn't, you know, my dad's always been really good about not like telling me what to do, but just kind of just giving me things to think about, you know. Like,
oh, that's great.
You know, you kind of point this part out of this perspective, and then, you know, I'd go over everything with him. He'd be like, yeah, no, that's some pretty good money. And I'd be like, yeah, but I've got this plan. He's like, well, yeah, you know, I know you want to stick to your plan too. You know, you could consider this. And he'd just point a few things out.
Mm-hmm.
And then he'd sit back and say, keep me posted.
Oh, that's nice.
You know,
yeah.
He'd still let me make the decision.
Yeah.
But he would just kind of point the things out. And, you know, sometimes there were certain situations that were maybe a little more cut and dry of what I should do. And he'd still be, you know, just light about it. But he, you know, he'd kind of introduce it and just like, look, you know, you got to do what you got to do. If it were me, this is what I would do.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and he did a really good job of never like demanding that I do something, not demanding, but like
not pushy
telling
about
me to do it a certain way. Right.
Yeah.
And you know, just very, very, very wise. And that goes along with, I mean, just being kind, being patient. That's another one that I, you know, wish I would have thrown in here word wise.
Yeah.
And just listening and just showing how you treat people, you know, the true family man. But yeah, I can't say enough about just how much of a gift it's been to me throughout my life to have him there,
mm-hmm.
As that compass, you know?
Well, it's all clear in the blog, and it's clear when I talk to you about it. And I think it's coming through pretty clear here, the amount of respect and reverence you have for your dad, and with good reason. Right. Now you're doing such a good job of answering my questions that you just answered my next question, which was going to be, we got a couple examples from the blog. Do you have another example where your dad was, did a nice job of guiding you, and you already got us past that. So I had just been asking about
pretty good with this interview thing. Answer and then question.
Yeah. Or maybe I'm getting predictable, one or the other. So, and I want to say it again, I just really love reading this with your one word punches, especially at the end, that last line. So just for fun, I came up with some words to describe our podcast, and how I feel about our podcast. So if I was writing a blog entry about our podcast and I needed to sum it up with a couple of words, I came up with a couple. So It's almost like I'm going to give you a little quiz here. Now, the first one comes from our friend Lynn, who told us a while ago, and I think we even brought this up in an episode of the podcast, but she gave us the word convivial, and she said that our podcast is convivial. So that's my first word to describe us and what we're doing here today. Do you remember what that word means?
I believe it's of a friendly and joyful nature.
Yeah, a lively atmosphere, right.
Yeah.
Friendly, lively, enjoyable atmosphere. So check, there's number one. I have one, two, three, four. I have five.
Oh, boy.
Word number two, this one I would like to say applies to
aren't
you.
Are you a math teacher? Like, aren't...
Well...
Why are we... I'm sorry. Go ahead.
Fun fact, I am actually certified to teach English as well. Word number two. And I would like to say this one does describe you, but I would be lying if I said it didn't describe me also. Word number two is discursive. Are you familiar with the word discursive?
Okay, the way that you said that before you introduced the word discursive.
I gave you a little hint. Gave you a hint.
Makes me think that it has either to do with rambling on and extending stories longer than they need to. Or
I love these guesses. I love what you're doing here.
Maybe
I might be hitting you in the insecurities right now. I don't know. What else you got?
Well, no, I'm pretty secure about the, you know, we're doing a blog and podcast about how we talk too much. That's
true.
That's essentially what we're doing here.
That's a very good point. What was your second guess, Jackass? You're talking about going on forever. You said you had a second guess. I think you forgot where you were.
I didn't say I don't remember.
Actually, you're pretty close. The word discursive, the definition is digressing from subject to subject. So it's pretty close to the rambling that you were suggesting. Yeah. Now there is, you know, there's short story long, but there's also the fact that once we start talking, neither one of us have an idea of where this conversation's going. Okay. Word number three. Yeah, yeah, that aren't intended. Word number three, ruminative. Again, they all describe our podcast. I mean, so far, a friendly nature, digressing from subject to subject. I think you would agree that those describe our podcast. Ruminative.
I definitely agree on ruminative. I'm sure I know that. I mean, I think of ruminating. I haven't heard ruminative in that form before, but reflecting, we are very reflective. That's been one of the best parts of this whole thing.
Yeah,
has been how much we've been able to reflect, which kind of goes back to the point of this blog entry, is how much I've gotten to reflect on, you know, what my dad means to me.
Right, right, right. It's apropos, if you will. I could throw that in as a sixth word if you want me to.
Nope, I don't.
Yeah, we decided to start writing this as a series of blog entries. The podcast idea came out later. And we originally just thought it would be cool to tell stories about a former student and a former teacher, but we sooner or later found ourselves digging a little deeper. And we are presently, especially with this blog episode, ruminative.
Yes. Well, and if I can add to that, since we're so discursive, both you and I.
So here we go. I'm not even going to get to the fourth word, am I? Actually, I'm regretting telling you that word.
Yeah. I'm pretty happy that you did.
Actually, you go on for a while. I'm going to open a beer. You do what you got to do.
There it is. Well, now I don't remember what I was going to say.
So, all right. I'll move on to word number four. Sardonic. Word number four.
Damn
for
it.
Us
I do remember. Ruminative.
Oh, son of a bitch.
The ruminative. I know. Well, I was just going to say, like, we did get to go, like, you know, write about some deeper level stuff, obviously, as we've been writing this over the years. But I would say, honestly, even since we first started releasing this, you know, we've been an even more of a, well, more of a ruminative mindset since we're using the word.
Truth.
Because I'll tell you, more than any time that I can remember since we've been doing the blog and the podcast, I've been reflecting so much. Because, you know, we go over the stuff that we wrote a while ago and we're really evaluating it. And obviously, we've reordered a couple of things just based on kind of where we think it's going as opposed to where we thought it was going to go. But I don't know about you, but it's just, I think it's been a great time to just reflect on things. I appreciate people and things and events in my life, for better or worse, so much more today than I ever have. And that's a direct effect of us doing this. So
I'm gonna agree with that
is probably
totally.
the best one.
Yeah, I'm gonna agree with that totally. We're starting to write some things that we never intended to have as part of our original story. We were like, we have to go back further and get into this thing. And I agree. You and I were just talking the other day, and we'll talk about this in part three, but the next blog entry has a little bit of that for me as well. Things that I hadn't thought about before, that as I was writing this, I looked back on my childhood and went, I'm forgetting something here and I need to bring it up. Okay. Word number four was sardonic. How do you feel about the word sardonic?
You know what this means, but I can't put it into words. No pun intended.
Yeah, it's good that you're writing a blog.
God damn it. I mean, just go ahead.
Okay. So, I've always had this word close to sarcastic to me, but a little like the darker
Same.
side of sarcastic. And so it basically means disdainfully or ironically, being humorous, usually without malice. So it's a little bit of busting somebody's balls with sarcasm,
Okay.
right? Where sarcasm could just apply to anything, but this one's got a little more of a put down nature to it. And God, if we don't do that to each other every day in this podcast, I don't know what we're doing. And then this
If
is my
there's a
favorite.
theme to the movie group, that's what it is.
It's, yes, there is. Yeah, and that's why you fit into the movie group. And then this is my favorite one. I have never even heard of this word before. Jocose. Do you have any idea of the definition of the word jocose?
They do not.
I'd never did it, and I hope we're stumping people left and right here with these. I hope even my friend Lynn, who you know, who loves words, I hope she hears that word and doesn't know what it means. It is someone who is characterized by being someone who jokes a lot or being humorous, someone who is jocose.
Right.
And so let me run those five down to you again and see if I have summed up our relationship in this podcast well.
I don't know if you need to, but go ahead.
Ruminative, being
Yes.
reflective, convivial, we're having fun in an
Absolutely.
enjoyable atmosphere, discursive,
Sure.
digressing from subject to subject, who knows where we're going to go,
That's
sardonic,
kind of the theme.
negatively sarcastic to each other, and jocose,
Oh, yeah.
humorous. I hope that we've done a nice job of summarizing this podcast with five words.
Yeah,
As
the first four, absolutely for sure. The fifth one, I hope so.
Well, we try anyway. We try.
Yeah.
Okay, so I've got a couple more things I would just love to bring up from Winds of the Father here. Take me through the driver's license test and your dad losing his shit on somebody. How, like in the first place, as a young man, so you're 16, 15 or 16 when you're taking your driver's
16.
tests.
Yep.
16. In the first place, how terrified were you of your father? Like, I don't know how far he's going to go. I've never seen this before. And secondly, how protected did you feel, or how great did you feel that your dad would step up for you in such a way?
Yeah, so I any terror lasted a half a second, and it wasn't necessarily of him. It was just so I was looking the other way, trying to figure out where I was, and I heard the window come down on his side. I didn't think
Okay,
much of
right.
it, but I do remember hearing that. And then I heard him yell, the thing. And
Oh, this is not PG rated. You can say swear words if you would like here.
yeah, I guess I was being a little nicer in the blog
Yeah,
to make
that's
clear.
right.
But yeah, no, he rolled the window down and yelled at this guy. He's like, "Hey, fuck you." And when you're not prepared for it and
Oh,
you
so
hear
good.
somebody yelling at you, because he was helping like guide me. It's like, all right, do this, and all right, he's kind of helping me guide, like he's helping guide me like through the parking lot with driving directions.
With a
And
nice,
then
gentle
suddenly I'm like trying
voice,
to
probably.
Yeah, I'm trying to figure this out over here. And then suddenly he just goes, "Hey, fuck you." I'm like, wow, I did something really wrong. And that thought lasted 2/10 of a second for me to swing my head around.
Right.
And obviously, even in that action, I was like, he's clearly not swearing at me. But I didn't know what to expect when I swung around and I just saw him staring out the window at this guy, and he just went, "You don't like it?" And I don't remember what that guy was doing. My dad was paying more attention to that guy than I was. I just remember I was like, I don't know where to. I was just, struggling to do whatever it was I was trying to do. And that's all it was.
I would love to
And
hear the second
then,
half of that sentence. You don't like it? I mean, I know how I would finish it, but I'd like to hear
right.
what was going on in your dad's head with the second half of that sentence.
Yeah. Well, with my dad, I don't think you even needed it. It was just kind of like,
Right.
yeah. I mean, he said it with the first words, but you don't hear my dad say that kind of thing out loud,
Right.
at people like that. And so part of it was just funny, honestly. But in hindsight, but yeah, no. As far as the second thing you said, I just felt like it just this is. I said in the blog how like champion and legend kind of are interchangeable with my mom and dad.
Yeah.
So as much as I call him legend now, at that moment I was like, dude, this is my champion. Like this guy's got my back. That felt amazing. It was just that was so cool. He's been there my whole life, and there are different examples of that before this event. But that's the first time I remember seeing my dad stand up for me. He didn't really need to like stand up for me a lot. I didn't get in a lot of fights or anything, so it's not like he needed to. But in this case, he felt like this guy was giving his son, a really hard time enough that he reacted to it. And again, I want to state this for the record. I know I say it in the blog, but my dad is the sweetest human being. The sweetest human being. Just very, very calm and just collected, doesn't really get angry very easily, and even I mean even when I was like when I was a teenager and I was just a complete smart ass and everything, I'd have yelling matches with my mom that would go on for a while, because my mom and I are very, very similar. We're a little stubborn, but like, if I got in an argument with my dad, or if I got in an argument with both of them, there's a point where I'd be like up in my room or something, and later on he'd come up and he'd kind of like just in a calm way, like, "Hey, sorry, I didn't mean to get this." And sometimes it wouldn't
Oh,
even be
man.
necessary to apologize, but he'd come by a little later
Just to
and
calm the
just,
waters.
yeah, like, "Hey, man,
Wow.
we're all good. I hope you understand this." And it's just, that's always been who my dad has been.
That's
He's
great.
just. He never really raises his voice, and it's just not just to me, it's everybody. That's why, again, upon reflecting on this, that's why his friends all love him so much. That's why my mom loves him so much, because he was just he just the most loving, caring, peaceful, respectful guy. And I mean,
Unless
you
somebody's
know,
trying to
I
cut off
just.
his son during a driver's test.
Well, yeah, but even then, he used the minimum. "Hey, fuck you, you don't like it." He didn't even have to say anything else. And the guy's like, "All right, I got the message."
So I do have a story about my dad defending me and getting
Ooh.
really like red-faced, pissed off at somebody for potentially putting me in harm's way. We're at a family picnic. And now this is really extended family. And even just in my with my cousin Brian, with our Larson side first cousins, there's a bunch of us. There's plenty for a picnic. But this goes into my dad's cousins, and they all have a bunch of kids. So this is a large family gathering, like where you have to go find a park somewhere and take over an entire park and community. And we would go do this. I don't know if it was every year or every other year, but there were multiple times, and I remember going to the same place, and a softball game would come out because there's a lot of baseball fans, and I am very sure that I'm going to be a Major League Baseball player. And so during a friendly family softball game, I'm out there playing third base. I'm a little guy. I was short as hell when I was a kid. And I'm out there playing third base. And let me be 7 or 8 years old. And so somebody comes up to bat, and it's not a kid. I mean, there are kids playing and there are adults playing and we're having fun playing softball. And I don't know who this guy was, but he took a pretty big swing and he hit a screamer of a line drive real close to my head. And I threw my glove at it and I missed it. I was late, you know, I wasn't that fast. And my dad saw that ball go that close to me and just, I don't even know if he was in the field, if he was pitching or if he was off to the side, whatever, but he walked right across the diamond, like right into the field of play and was pointing right in this guy's face. My dad's face was all red and he was like, "There's kids out here. You're not going to play like this. This is not how this game's going to go." And I was like, one, holy shit, that guy's in trouble, because I've seen my dad do this before. This is not going to go well for that guy. And two, I had a feeling like that this, my dad is looking after me right now. And this is, yeah, this is a cool feeling, you know? And so
it really is.
I'm familiar with the feeling of feeling protected. You know, I felt protected in that moment. And then the other thing, I was like, well, next time I'll just catch the ball. Yeah, you know, the dad doesn't have to yell if I catch the ball, you know.
So, hey, getting back to the blog a little bit, because, mm-hmm. you know, you and I are telling a story here.
Right.
From the first day that you and I started talking about this and we were swapping stories initially, right. you know, I told you about this thing, you know, this birthday thing with my dad. And it happened fairly recently, like within a few months or so. So we're just swapping stories back and forth. And this was always going to be kind of a core thing. Cause you know, we're sitting there writing down, when we decided to write the blog, like, all right, what yeah. are we going to write about?
What did we just talk okay. about? Right. Right.
Yeah. And one of those things I'm pretty sure was, you know, my taking my dad on the birthday trip thing.
Yes, it
so
was.
This really goes back, you know, to that. As we were writing stuff back and forth, I still didn't really have anything on my dad in the blog or the podcast. And I just kind of felt like I needed to give him his due, you sure. know, because my dad's such a huge part of my story. But I, just because, you know, there are parts of that day and parts of that trip that I will tell people. And then there are parts of it that are just me and him for the rest of time. But there's a second part to this story that I have not written about at all.
Yes, there
and it's
is.
It's a story that I very much enjoy telling this story.
Maybe even as we were deciding to write this blog and we were writing down things that we should tell as a story, this is one of the things I remember going, this has got to be in here if you're comfortable telling this part. And you didn't write it in the blog, but let's, if we're going to do this, let's do it. What's the end of that story, Mike Wilden?
It's not even, it's the end, it's the beginning, it's part, like, this is just, see, what I did is I took the very thoughtful part of that story, which uh-huh. is the birthday trip and then being able to reflect on everything. That can, in itself, be its own really cool story, which, of course, that's how I
story.
Wrote it.
It's great, yes.
Yeah. And, I mean, that's the tone I wanted in this anyway. It's just, you know, it's for my dad. But again, that's only actually half of the story.
Yeah, let's go.
So, 2 or 3 weeks before I went on this trip, you know, I had the idea. I was sitting out on my parents' deck with my mom, and I first ran it by her. You know, hey, I want to take dad on this thing. I want to interview him, blah, 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 blah.
Yeah.
And at the end of it, she's like, you know, what do you think? And I was, and she was like, yeah, no, it's a good idea. And then you guys can come back and take some edibles. I'm sorry, what? It's, you know.
Mom, can you say that one more time? What did yeah, you just say?
This was her idea. So I've always been under the impression, because they I have this theory they carefully cultivated this image for me over the years. I always had the impression that my parents were kind of, yeah, for lack of a better word, kind of boring, not in a bad way, but just like, you know, they didn't do a lot of, like, I imagine when it came to say, you know, when it came to marijuana, like, yeah, my dad probably had some experience in college. Maybe my mom had tried it once or something like that, but I didn't, you know, I figured they kind of just mostly stayed away from it, that kind of thing, you know,
but they didn't give you like, calm. They didn't give you lectures. They were like, never get involved with this. Like they didn't, you didn't have that kind of.
So when it came to cigarettes, my mom threatened, like my mom is a wonderful human being that would never actually hurt anybody either. Mm-hmm. But she regularly would threaten to beat my ass. burned in my brain. If I ever catch you smoking, I'll beat your ass.
Oh, that's great.
And I remember finally she said that and I was like, I don't know. I was 17. I don't know. I was a lot older and I was kind of like, Mom, really, what are you going to do?
Like, yeah. Yeah.
Just, and you know, I don't like cigarettes anyway, so there was never a concern for her, but she always took it upon her to make that, you know, just out of nowhere make that threat. But yeah, I kind of just I figured, okay, well, it's like recently, I think maybe even just that year or somewhat recently, had become legal in Illinois.
So
I figured, okay, well, you know, maybe this would be like, this would be a fun thing. Maybe they're thinking, hey, if we're going to try it, maybe we can, you know, try it with our son. That'd be kind of be fun. You know, that was the impression I got from her. Even at that point, it did take me off guard, but that was still kind of what I was thinking. So then, you know, a couple days beforehand, that's when I text her, hey, it's supposed to be a surprise. Hey, you told them everything. Worked out fine. The night before I went over to do this thing, I met with a friend of mine. I was like, you know, the thing is, I don't have a lot of experience with this either. I don't have any experience with it, really.
Right.
It's not that I have anything against it. I just don't, you know, I just haven't done it. I don't know.
Yeah.
So my friend's just kind of given me tips on like what I should be looking for, what to expect when I go into the dispensary place, you know, when we actually take it, what to expect.
Sure.
So I get all that good information, go that night to this thing that's not too far away from my apartment, but it was an experience. So the next morning I get there and I give my dad his gift, you know, the gummies, the little jar of 10 gummies, and it's wrapped in this nice little bag. Perfect little Christmas, perfect little, you know, birthday gift.
Yeah.
So he opens it up. He's looking at it. He's like, oh, it's a good gift, Mike. Good. You know, and, 'cause he knew what we were going to do, but just, you know, check it out. That's his object gift.
Right.
And, you know, my mom comes by, oh, what is it? As if she didn't know, you know. So my dad, you know, is asking me, he's like, oh yeah, this is good. Where'd you get these? And I told him, well, I was just in that dispensary right down the road from my apartment. I started to tell him the story of my experience there. And he just cut in right away. He just went, oh, I was just there a week and a half ago. Wait, what? You were just there a week and what? Why?
Oh, I love like, this so much.
And then I'm starting to realize things like, huh. You know, my dad had gotten into kind of a bad car accident within like that year or so. And so he'd had some like back pain, some reoccurring back and neck pain. And so I was even going to suggest it to him at some point, like, hey, you know, if you're looking for pain relief, it's legal now. Why not give it a shot? Clearly, he was way ahead of the game on me.
It had that covered. That's hilarious.
Yeah. So he knew. So we go out. I had to buy a new phone because like the night before my phone just died and just stopped charging, you know, it's just like, all right, cool. Thanks.
Yeah.
So I had to go and buy a new phone real quick. And my dad, the sweetheart, patient sweetheart that he is, just kind of waited while I looked around and I didn't have time to research this. I ended up fine. Anyways, go on the drive. Great time. We get back. We eat something. My dad lays down for a little while. I'm screwing around on my new phone. And then after a while, he gets up. He comes over. He's like, well, hey, I'm going to go take a shower and then I'll come back out. We can do our drugs. I'm like, okay.
Happy birthday, thanks, Dad.
Yeah. It's just the way that he put it so bluntly. Like, you know, okay, yeah. No, he's not wrong.
Yeah.
So, you know, he gets done with his shower. He comes back out. And I don't know exactly what we were waiting for. We're all kind of just standing around talking about it. And my mom just got in this thing where she kept on asking, she's like, how much should we take? How much should we start with? How much should we start with? How much should we take? How much should we start with? How much should we take?
Yeah.
And finally, I'm like, well, here, mom, look, my friend that I've been talking to, he told me that I should start with half a gummy because okay. I don't have any experience with this.
Right.
So I don't know what your experience level is. Dad cuts in again. Oh, she's an old veteran. What the fuck is happening?
Oh, it's just truth day for you.
It just, I like the, okay. The actual experience. Yeah. Just kind of like that's not even the fun part of the story is the taking yeah. the gummies, but like, it's the fact that leading up to that,
who are
I
these people?
Some shit. I learned some shit. Like I just, you know, so then, and I'm going to come back to that in a second, but so we did, of course I got to talk about it. We did the actual thing, very mellow, you know, 45 minutes to an hour into it, we didn't feel anything. And my mom was like, I don't feel anything. Let's take the other half. I'm like, okay. And, you know, kind of got a little bit of a buzz, but there wasn't a whole lot. And my mom even described it. She's like, you know, I feel a buzz, but I'm not like super interested in my flowers or anything. So, and then,
okay.
My, you know, I'd say that it didn't seem to really hit us that much, but what we did was we watched all three at the time, all three John Mulaney Netflix specials, and then Saturday Night Live in a row.
Okay.
So
you were at it for
yeah,
a while.
I think it hit us.
Yeah, yeah. You were at it for a while.
The time it felt like it hit me the most was just before I woke up the next morning.
I would like to say that this...
But I want to come back to this, though. So finding out all this stuff, like, hey, my parents are like super freaking cool. Like my parents know exactly what's going on.
Didn't know that before. You know, yeah.
How did I not know that? At that point I was 32 years old. I'm like, how did I not know this about you guys?
Yeah.
Which again, kind of the whole reason for taking my dad on this thing, but just an unexpected extra thing I was learning about him.
You checked an extra box on your checklist.
Yeah.
Yeah.
One of the best boxes, but then, you know, I used to have New Year's parties at their old house, and so friends would come over. I did this for several years in a row.
Yeah.
And sometime around the time that my parents and I did this, I had spoken to a friend that just kind of brought up one of those parties. He said, hey, yeah, there was one time where we went and like snuck under the deck and where we were smoking pot, but we didn't tell you because we thought you'd get mad. And I was like, yeah. Man, like I kind of like that. If I was ever going to try it, that would have been a perfect time to do it. Like, I kind of sure. wish you would have told me, you know. Well, then I combined that with the fact that, you know, my parents are super cool with it. And then I had the question. I was like, was I the only one in the house that didn't know? Why am I the square? So some hard truths, but some fun ones. But yeah, a lot. I learned a lot about my parents that day. Obviously, especially my dad, but like, yeah, my view of them changed a lot, and I think for the better. But based on the idea I had of them my whole life up to that point, it was kind of a lot.
So two things, two reactions here. One, I feel like this should inspire me to go get high with my parents, but it doesn't. And two, you know, I tell all these stories in the classroom, and I have names for the stories. You know, the day I got run over by the chicken truck, and we're going to hear very shortly about the day I accidentally tripped my mother down the stairs. Can you come up with I'm going to put you on the spot here. Can you come up with a title for this story as if you were in the classroom and you needed to tell the I got high with my parents story? Do you have a title for that?
The day I took edibles with my parents. What else is it going to be?
That's great. That is great.
That's absolutely what it has to be.
And then in parentheses, who the hell are these people?
Like that. Yeah.
Oh, man,
maybe put the word
stuff.
Gummies in. I don't know. But either way, yeah, that's oh, God. That's usually it. So whenever I get to tell somebody this story, you know, I mentioned my friend that I got to reunite with in Boston kind of on a whim.
Yes.
Several episodes ago, if ever even on the podcast. But anyways, While we're at that Red Sox game, just catching up on life and swapping stories, late in the game, I was like, I don't think I ever told you this, did I? And I was like, did I tell you about the time that I did gummies with my parents? And she was like, what? No, you need to tell me this now.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I think I already am introducing it that way.
Yeah. Yeah. That's good. That's good.
Not to be discursive, but
completely discursive, completely discursive. Okay. I have a question for you. And maybe you don't have an answer for this because I think we've done this a little bit. I might be repeating myself here, but I just want to give credit to the Guardian metaphor in this blog. This whole example of you swimming in a pool and your dad coming over to help you out when you feel like you're in trouble. Isn't this job number one for a dad? Like, you are not a father. I'm not a father. We don't have kids. But if I was a dad, I would think the one thing that's my responsibility is to go help my kid out when he can't swim in the pool and let him know it's going to be okay. Like, that's a metaphor for dad life right there. My question for you, just to expound on that. First place, love the way you wrote that. Love the metaphor. Secondly, do you have any other examples of your dad keeping you afloat when you needed him to keep you afloat? You gave us, I asked earlier for an example of him being a compass, and that's the one you answered before I even asked it. And I was just wondering, do you have anything else to give us about, you know what, I don't have this, but my dad helped me through it.
I wrote this in the blog as a compass example, but it kind of fits the compass and guardian monikers kind of equally. But again, the thing I said in the blog about when I was trying to get through school, through Echo School.
Oh yeah. Yeah.
You know, I've been out of the school realm for a few years throughout most of my 20s. It's intimidating as it is, but I was, you know, excited to do it. But, you know, I spent a year just taking the anatomy classes just to get into the program. Yeah. And I remember at one point it was just like, I was just so overwhelmed with everything in front of me. I hadn't even started the program yet. And I just felt like all this work was just falling on top of me. And it's like, it just felt like this was never going to end.
Yeah.
Like, God, I have to do this for 2 more years. Now, the funny thing is I looked at this then like, I'm going to turn 30 before I graduate. Oh, my life is going to be over, which is just a stupid thing that 20 something year old people think, because as soon as you turn 30, you go, oh, this is totally fine. I have my whole life in front of me. This is great. Yeah. And also, after I graduated at 30, literally no one cared. Nobody was like, oh, you graduated when you were 30. It took you.
Right.
Not a single person gave me any, because nobody cared. They're just like, hey, awesome. Good for you. Yeah. Like, no, so
you had a useless insecurity,
but I remembered, yes. But there was so much work to do, and I don't remember if it was like something to get into the program or just something to get ready for it, and there was just so much. I don't remember all that part, but I remember just sitting at the kitchen table and just venting to him, just like, yeah, man, I feel so overwhelmed here.
I can't swim.
You know, everything I just said to you, basically. Yeah. And that's when he gave me the elephant metaphor.
Yeah. So you're reminding me of somebody who gave me a similar piece of advice, or a kick in the pants, however you want to look at it. And we've never talked about my friend Craig. He's one of the guys that I grew up with at this campground. His mother, Mrs. Martin. We've never talked about Mrs. Martin. She was a second mother to all of us. All of us that went to that campground inevitably stayed at their place, and either their camper or their house. I just remember going to their house, and you walk in the door and there's 150 pairs of shoes because every kid went there. Like, this was just the kind of people that they were. And as you know, I tried college and it didn't take the first time. So I was behind, and I was younger than all of these friends anyway. And so all of my friends are graduating left and right, and I'm behind. And I picked teaching, which required more semester hours than most degrees. So, you know, I'm in college for quite a while. And I remember at one point just saying to her, I don't know if I'm ever going to make it. I should just drop out. And I meant it so sarcastically. I was just sort of venting and just saying, you know what? The hell with this. I'm going to drop out. I'm going to tell you, I've never seen her once get frustrated or disappointed with me. But just the thought of me saying I'm going to drop out of college set Mrs. Martin off that day. Oh, man. She is like, you will not drop out of college. Those children need you. You will finish this. You will do this and this. And I was like, I was just joking, man. They just back off. She gave me all of my change and then some for that $10 bill. Let me put it that way.
Good. Good job, Mrs. Martin.
Absolutely. And it was exactly what I needed to hear, even though I thought I didn't deserve, you know, the comment at the time. But you brought it up. I was going here anyway. I love the I ate the elephant thing. Oh, my goodness. What a fantastic metaphor your dad gave you for just what a life skill.
I've been able to use that. I was just talking to somebody today, literally today. Somebody's talking to me about thinking about going back to school and they're really intimidated because it's a big decision and a huge change.
Yeah.
And I actually just told them, you know, how do you eat an elephant one bite at a time? Because I know that by heart point. And I can say it just like my dad too.
Yeah.
that's part. It was such an important moment for me in a very serious way, but also just knowing my dad, and he said it in the most dad way, and not just, and probably, you know, dad in general, but also just specifically him, just in his way, just as slow, methodical, just, you know, well, you know, first you take a bite, chew it, yeah, you swallow it, take another bite. Yeah, just the very, and then just going on and on, which go figure. I wonder where I got that.
I love you doing an impression of your dad here. I love that. Do it again. Oh, and say God. It again. Give it to us one more time. One more time.
Like, you know, first you look at this elephant and you just go, wow, that's a lot of fucking elephant. But, you know, you just get to work. You take a bite, you chew it, you swallow it. You take another bite, chew it, and you swallow it. Take another bite, chew it, swallow it. You keep taking manageable bites, and you do that for a while. And after you take some bites, you chew them, and swallow them, you look at the elephant, and you realize there's not as much elephant left.
That's great,
that's,
man.
That's essentially how it went. And again,
Mike, man, that just sounds like a dude I could listen to all day.
I laugh because of just the quirks of how my dad would tell these stories.
Yeah.
And it's not even that I'm not even laughing at him. It's just because it's my dad, you know? I can't describe it. It's a funny thing. I have a lot of stuff like that with my mom too, where it's just, this is just her. It's so, you know, the way he said this was so my dad that it's just funny to me. There's no other way to react to it. But yes, I part of me kind of wishes I'd paid a little more attention. I paid attention, but I don't know, man. Like I said, that wisdom thing in there, my dad had a lot of just very, very wise things to say over the years. He's always had wise things to say, which is why I'd go to him about, you know, whatever it would be.
I would like to point out that with this blog episode and this podcast episode, I don't know if you're aware of this. If you think of our story as an elephant, we have eaten exactly half of the elephant with this blog and this podcast.
Yes, we have. But, you know, the thing is the thing with that metaphor is it's a lot of just strenuous work, and look at everything we have to do. You and I have been excited to get to this point.
That's true.
And we've had a lot of fun along the way.
Yes. Okay, so maybe it's not a big elephant, but it's like an elephant is something that's a chore. What else could we be doing here?
It's like eating a big steak.
Yeah.
That's what we're doing.
That's eating a big ass steak. And how do you eat a big ass steak, Mike?
One delicious and amazing bite at a time.
Absolutely. Let me ask you this. I'm out of points on my outline. Do you have anything else that you would like to say about blog entry number 12, Winds of the Father?
I really just want to piggyback a little bit on the Eye at the Elephant thing. You know, my favorite part, I mentioned in the blog that I made the cap. I decorated my cap and, you know, all the girls are decorating their stuff. And I was like, I don't even know what to put on mine. And then, nope, I know exactly what to put on mine. Because that got me through school. Anytime I'd be overwhelmed, I'd think back to my dad telling me how to eat an elephant. So I put that on there, and I remember my mom like took a picture with me holding my cap next to my dad and everything, because that was the thing. And it was just such a special thing. And I was so glad to be able to be there at graduation and like show my dad, like, you see this? This is, you got me here. When I think about my dad, that's one of those really, really special moments and just times in general. And that's just who he is.
Great.
Now, well, and then there's one other thing I kind of wanted to mention, because in the blog, I talked about how his, you know, my parents' friends love them. Last weekend, or just a little bit before the weekend, I drove straight home from Wisconsin. I didn't even stop at my apartment. I went straight to my parents' house because a couple of their friends in that group that currently live in California were in town for the week.
Okay.
And they wanted to have a party. My dad specifically wanted to have a party, and there are some reasons that maybe a party wasn't going to be like the best idea, but it worked out great. And I walked in, and it was like, I walked in my parent. It was the loudest it has ever been in my parents' house.
Okay.
Now, nobody was screaming or anything, but it was just because there were so many people there talking.
Uh-huh.
That, you know, that noise just builds on itself, and so you walk in, it sounds like you just walked into like a school gymnasium and people are just talking like before a concert or a game or whatever.
Yeah,
like that's what it sounded like. It was like, wow, this party's kind of hopping. My brother and sister were there, a whole bunch of my parents' friends were there, and of course, you know, my parents. And you know, I know these people very well because I grew up knowing them my whole life. And now that I've, I guess, gained a little bit of confidence in myself and am able to, you know, just talk to people, I love hanging out with my parents' friends. And I had a blast the whole night talking to all of these people. There are a couple of them that like I hadn't seen in a really long time. I was like, man, it's just great to see the, you know. And just to kind of finish this off with the point about how cool my parents actually are and their group of friends, I left at just before 1 a.m.
Okay.
And I wasn't the last one to leave.
All right.
I got to tell people, they're like, what'd you do this weekend? I partied with a bunch of 70-year-olds.
Yeah.
And it was awesome. It was so much fun.
Yeah.
They're just the best. And you know, it was the same thing with my dad's birthday party the year before I took him on this drive that my siblings set up for him.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, they closed down a bar and there were it was just packed in there because everybody was there to see my dad. It's like, oh, it's his 70th, we're not missing this. And it was just so cool. And that's I've always thought that's really cool, but just, you know, it still happens even today. I still get to see that kind of thing and just be kind of proud of just who my parents are and just get to see, like, you know, people are here to see my dad. And it's just, it's really cool.
Hey, let's just leave it at that. Cheers to you and the legend and the champion. Cheers.
Absolutely.
All right, guys, that will put a wrap on episode number 12, Winds of the Father, a heartfelt and hearty tribute to his father. And happy Father's
Can
Day
I
to
ask
all the
you a
fathers
question,
out there.
Tim?
Yes, please.
Did you get the play on words with the title?
Winds of the Father. The first time I read it, I did not. But I did later, so go ahead and tell what you meant by this.
Oh, well, I the reason I named it that was just I just had the that phrase "sins of the father" in my head, and I was like, but this is a good thing. So how do we say something the opposite? Oh, wins. Yeah.
Yeah.
So That was
Yeah. I like it. I'm not as familiar with, isn't it like Sins of the Father or the Sins of the Son, something like that? Isn't that how the rest of that goes?
Yeah, and that I think my overall point to that is like I'm for sure going to benefit for the rest of my life because of all of the, all of the wins of my father. So
Yeah, I love that. So I apologize. The first time you wrote it, I was just like, "Winds of the Father." That sounds cool. I'm just a happy idiot over here. I didn't
No,
put it
that's
all
all
together,
right.
but kudos to you. Great, great
Thank
episode
you.
for us. Great article. And happy Father's Day.
Yes, happy Father's Day. But let's put a wrap on that. Also, real quick, thanks to my brother Brandon and my sister Courtney for chiming in at the beginning of this episode.
Yeah, that was great.
So, Tim, usually you ask me this. What are we going to do next time when it's your entry?
That's
I'm
right.
just going to kind of skip you here, and I'm just going to
Just
start
jumping up.
talking about here.
Okay.
Episode 13 of the blog and the podcast is going to be another Larson story from the classroom.
That is correct.
The day you tripped your mother down the stairs.
Yes, that is correct.
We edited this blog a couple nights ago, and just I remember this story better than any other story, including the chicken truck thing. We
Okay.
went through the chicken truck, but there were still details of that that I was like, man, I don't even remember this part of it. But when I played you on stage, the story I told was you tripping your mother down the stairs when I
Okay.
attempted that last night to tell, a Mr. L story. And it was so much fun just going through that again and just remembering, because that it more than anything, that took me back to the classroom and hearing you tell that one. It is such a great story. It's so much fun. And if you have anything you'd like to say about it before we end our episode here, go for it.
This is usually a part one kind of story, but it's just jumping in my head, so I'm going to throw this out there. This past weekend, Nikki and I were at a wedding, and it was for somebody we work with, Brock, and his lovely bride.
Oh, yeah.
And God, they were beautiful. It was a wonderful wedding. But
Shout out to Brock.
I didn't really think about the fact that he was probably going to invite some people he went to high school with. So I found myself at a wedding reception with former students.
I
And
like this.
that was kind of fun. And there was some exchanges there. And I really enjoyed seeing some people I haven't seen in a long time. And then there was a present student who just graduated. And she had done a speech. So I know she wasn't the valedictorian, but she was one of the three that do the speeches. So she's a pretty good student. And she was talking to a couple other teachers where we had gone out to get some fresh air, and we were just involved in this conversation. And it turns out I had her twin sister in my class, and I was putting things together. I was like, "Oh, you're that, I didn't realize, that kind of thing." So then two adults come out and stand next to her and are talking to her. And I said, "So is it the case that you guys are her parents?" And the dude's like, "Fuck no, how old do you think I am?" And I was like, "I don't know how I just offended somebody. I'm just trying to get through the night here without looking like an idiot." And he says, "No, I'm her uncle." And then he says his
Oh,
name.
well.
Yeah, I wasn't that far off, right? But anyway, he says his name, and he had been in my class. And he was like,
Nice.
"Wait a minute. Are you Mr. Larson?" And I was like, "Absolutely not. No, my name's Benson. I don't even know what you're talking about." So he remembered being in my class, and since we're talking about Larson stories, he goes, "You're the guy that told the stories. I was in your class." And he tells me his name. I remember his name. I look at his face. I was like, "Holy shit, how long ago did I teach you?" And he's older than you, Mike. And he goes, "I remember the story about a booger coming out of your nose." And I was like, "All right, I gotta go. That's it. Good night. Goodbye, everybody." So these things come back to me, is what I'm saying. So yes, the next blog entry will be another Larson story. When we first started putting these in, we thought it was just part of the story, and it turns out that I ended up having a little bit more to say than the way that I first wrote this, and I'll just leave it at that. So,
Yeah.
Something to look forward to next Wednesday, guys.
When you went back to rewrite this recently, you were in a very ruminative state.
I was indeed. I was indeed. The journey took us that direction, didn't it? Especially after sure this entry that we're talking about here today, we decided it would be a good spot to get reminiscent and to do a little dig a little deeper. So I hope that people enjoy what's coming at them next weekend. So that'll be that.
I'm sure they will. It's fantastic.
So look forward to that. Let's close this out. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for listening and hanging out with us. If you have any comments, please go to our website at 15-years-later.com. That's a numerical 15 and hyphens 15-years-later.com. Or you could reach us on Instagram or Threads at 15 Years Later Official. You could also get us at X, I guess, if you want to. And that's at 15 Years Later EM. Of course, you could always email at us at 15yearslaterofficial@gmail.com. Have yourselves a great week.
Thanks again, everybody. And once again, happy Father's Day.
Hey, Mike.
Yes.
Are we partnered with anybody?
Damn it.
You thought I was going to screw up that whole thing. Are we partnered with anybody? Let's close it out.
No, that was good. That was really good. I have one thing to tell you after we stop recording, and it's going to be really funny. In fact, maybe you should keep it recording.
Yeah.
But it's, and this is not your fault
for
whatsoever.
Those of you listening, he didn't think I could get through all of that without screwing it up, and I nailed it, unless he's got something to tell
you.
Oh,
we're still including this? Oh,
yeah,
wow, okay.
Absolutely.
Yeah, so we are, just a reminder, everybody, we are partnered with the SPDM Crew Podcasting Network.
Yes, we are.
I still do stand by my Happy Father's Day to everybody, and I might as well just say this now. Just so you know, Tim, I deleted the X/Twitter account a couple of days ago because we all of our followers on that account were bots. They were all just like I'd click on one of them and it was like created 2 months ago. Some model in a bikini, same number of followers and following. I'm like, okay, block that. Go to the next one. Same thing. That was all of our followers and Mike Hilty and Steve Campbell. That was our followers on Twitter. So
you,
I just got rid of it.
If I may say, the whole time you talked about our X account, you did so with a sardonic tone of voice.
Yes, I did. and I know I bounced back and forth between getting rid of that for weeks. I finally just pulled the trigger because I don't need, we don't need a troll farm to be our main audience. And on Twitter it was,
that's true.
So
we appreciate you guys who are the live farm. Thank you for being the live farm instead of the troll farm.
Yes. I see what you're saying now. But yeah, so just so you know, ladies and gentlemen, we do not have X and or Twitter anymore. I forgot to tell Tim before he
before
he said all
though.
Of that,
I killed it. You didn't think I had
yes,
it in
you
me.
Did You did a good job. I'll give you credit for that. And to be honest, I didn't know we were still officially recording this when you kind of called me out on that.
That's true.
Thank you, everybody. Once again, happy Father's Day.
Have a great week, everybody.